want to say your name first and where you were born?
Where I was born?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, in which way? My Indian name or whatever?
Whatever you want.
Oh. All right. Okay. Namaskar Nimatanjigo. You must have been calling it since Tariq. Oh. Sisang Sokminanis Nashinanig is a big attic, you know, no. Ini ngot tos ni sut ina nak ni sut sagi bagai Jesus ni mak aku cintai dia ni ko mak ne mak gua ni sian oi cuba be sok mak gua ni sina be ge ina nak ki at ke ni mak gua I just want to tell you that I was born in the Wasmanikani year 1925 June 5th, and I've always lived in this area, knowing surrounding area, with radius about 300-400 miles, I guess. So, what do you want to know?
What do you know about the, what people did a long time ago, like trapping and working in mines and working in lumber camps and that?
Yeah, well, I grew up to be like that, I guess. I know my grandfather and my grandmother came from one of the reserves on the American side, so-called American side, but in those days there was no such thing as American Indians or Canadian right. Indians, you know, so. That's where she came from, and also my grandfather came from what they used to call Kamskokka, that's Leech Lake, and that's where all his relatives came to live here on this side and become, and then when they worked here as a railroad went by, I guess, you know, and everybody started cutting. Pick blueberries and trap, mostly trapping here, because I know when we used to have a depression here in Canada, so-called now, the biggest place in, you know, to living good, you know, because everybody else had a hard time. Mm-hmm. There was very few jobs, but the Indians here, the Anishinaabe people I call, they were really, really well off because the fur business was really good, and then jobs were very small, money-making type of thing. Mm-hmm. But everybody worked, and everybody worked hard. And also, they went back and forth, many of these communities, even though that they paddled. But they sure did a good job of making roads, like, and even myself, after maybe 4 years old, maybe something like that, I know, I remember traveling down to Net Lake, they had regular trailer, yeah. A road, just like a road, all these lakes that they used to name, I don't know, I don't remember all of them, but anyway, they used to paddle up that way, and then some other people would come around this way. They really, communication was good, because they might exchange their ways of life, you know, because yeah. I think that's why they lived real good. They never looked at each other, one is better than the other, like, you know, the balance was there all the time. So that's what I noticed, you know, because many times that we paddled to Net Lake, some of the areas where they had wild rice, and we used to go and make rice over there, you know, but no one said anything, you know.
Yeah.
You know, they just really worked together in many ways, huh? So that's how much I know how they lived and all the other places as well, like Leech Lake and all these other places. I can't really name them all, but I know that's how the communication was so good. And they worked together on their so-called way of life. As I remember, we paddled over there once. I don't know how they got the message, but they got a message somehow. They had to rush over to Net Lake, Minnesota. Sabikunai Zaganing, they call it. we had a rush over there for, I don't exactly know what it was, but they went and they worked together, whatever it was, like, you know. Mm-hmm. They weren't the only ones here. On this side there were other people in different areas from us. Because they used to travel to together, you know, all these communities, they all bunch up, like, you know, and then they used to travel to Unigami Singh, they call it. That's Duluth, Minnesota. Because the reason why they travel is they used to go and visit the creator, they call it, Nanamudro. You know, that's the one they call now, today's Spirit Mountain. So, anyways, that's how much I know about it, because I made a trip, I think probably the last trip they made. I remember my grandparents wanted to travel over there so bad, and so they had to get together here, get a bunch of younger guys to paddle, you know, mm-hmm. that, you know. So they wanted to go there, because in those days, Spirit Mountain was, they called Nenabosho Namattabe, and that was where he, after he created everything, like, you know, and they still believe in it.
Yeah.
Because that's why they used to visit, and they used to own a bunch of stuff, a bunch of good food, and then they used to have, oh, they had really fantastic time.
So, what was the river you used to paddle down here from up here?
This one here?
Yeah. Was it Little Fork, or was it...
Yeah, well, there? One of them was a Little Fork, but Little Fork stayed out the other way, eh? When I used to go to, say, Kalawashin.
Yeah.
But the other one is on the other side here, I don't know what they call that.
Vermilion? Or was it...
Yeah, well, they used to come out Lake Vermilion. And then you come out, there's another river there. He called Rishikesh Akhazaga, even I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I don't know, there was kind of a fork out there.
Yeah.
One goes to the, you know, where you live now. And then they forked out the other way to come out in east side of that lake.
Yeah.
And there was a corded road there somehow, something like that. So.
I think the people from Lac La Croix used to come down the same river.
Yeah, they used to come down the same river that way.
And there was another route too that went towards Ely that way, towards mm-hmm. Basswood.
Yeah.
And I guess a lot of the people traveled back and forth from Lac La Croix down Alley too.
Oh,
because
yeah.
There was villages on Burnside Lake and Basswood.
Oh,
Lake.
Yeah, because, you know, in those days, you know, they didn't have any problem traveling back and forth. It's like a regular highway.
Yeah.
And that's how they communicate each other. And then those messengers, they call, I don't know if that... They had some here in this area, like, you know, we had these communities, like Negonsamanikaning, Shkibalkaning, Sagitabkan, and Tanjigami, Wanatanga, Nagachana, and I don't remember they called that before. They didn't call it Tikichuanan, that just came early, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I know, but there's another name for it. I don't remember that. I know that some of the people from Lac La Croix must have talked about that, because they didn't call it. They didn't call Lac La Croix. I mean, what they call it now? Kachonam, they call it now, but that's not what the regular name was. Different. Some of the old people used to talk about it. So it was, you know, it was trail all over the place in this area.
Yeah.
As far as going back to Red Lake, Minnesota. Wabashim.
Mm-hmm.
So because I know where there's a lot of places. So that's how I remember that people here, and seemed like all in one big family. Of course, they were all Anishinaabe people. They worked together, so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they know that Misabe, or so they call it. I think that's someone just before you go to Virginia. There's a hill there that they followed, like
the Wrench and Divide.
Although I don't know how far it goes, but there now we stop on that highway just before you get to outskirts of Virginia. There we usually put tobacco in there.
Yeah.
cart and I start rocking, and that's where he runs across it. So that's how they communicate in those days, and everybody all just like one big family, which is, was good, I guess, you know, because everybody had whatever they were doing, you know, seemed like they know, even though they didn't have no phones, which was good about it, huh? Certain time I think that I remember myself, as I remember my great-grandfather and my grandparents, they were talking about going to and there was a bunch of other people in this area, you know, well, we're going to go. So, and then everybody had their good way of life, you know, they all worked together. They didn't, they never compete each other. They're not that I can remember. Because when we got, as many times I remember, I don't know which part of that lake. As long as we come around that point, you know, they're just like water was coming down, everybody was coming to meet the people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there wasn't a single person out there that didn't come down.
Yeah,
right. Boy, it take a long time, they're shaking, hugging everybody. Right?
Yeah.
It was really welcome. So, that's all that. There's quite a few things I remember what they used to do with it. How they used to talk about a lot of their spiritual areas and why that was there. Actually, I remember that. I can't think of it right now. There was a river from there. Goes all the way down to, well, it used to come out to, you know, where you come from, that lake there. Goes from there. There's a bunch of small lakes, and they went through there. So that's how I remember all that stuff that was taking place. Can you move your cock, please? We ready?
Yeah.
All right. It's nice to know all these roads where the people used to travel, but I think they're still there as far as I know, because some of the white people, when they came down here, I know this road here from Rena Lake here all the way down to Thunder Bay.
Yeah.
That was another road that people used to come from the American side, so-called, now.
Yeah.
And travel all the way down there to go and visit, you know, that Mount McKay.
Mm-hmm.
That's another big celebration area.
Yeah.
Indians there, they used to take a lot of things there. They did a lot of work together. So that was the other one. Then they went down to the, I don't know if they call that river, down into you know, where that reserve is there now. You call that reserve there?
Grand Portage.
Hmm.
Grand Portage.
Yeah, Grand Portage.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then somehow there was another river outside of the big lakes, like him.
Yeah.
Yeah, they travel right across the country there. So I don't, what I hear them talking about it all the time, why these places are like, and it's like today, highway, you know, they talk about highway.
Yeah.
And then you get there.
Yeah.
And that's the way they know about their travel. And that's why there's so much scattered, some of the people were buried, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Like over here, they've been trying to find out where some of the burial grounds is, the old ones, on American side here now. I noticed 2 years ago they had Buddy Friday there watching over. They were moving the highway where it's located. I don't know how they, I know he was there for quite a while trying to direct them, you know, which side of that they're supposed to go. We know there was burial ground in there.
Mm-hmm.
As I know, down to the next bridge, I went with, who was with there? Somebody came and picked me up here, and then he said, where are those burial grounds? So I told him, that's just where they talk about it. Sure enough, we got those people know-how, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They come around there, and oh yeah, there's burial grounds in there. Long, long time ago. So they moved the highway where they were going to put it. They were going to put it right on top of this, huh? So they moved it out. Like, so which is good on me.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I think it's a good, at least they do that in Minnesota, you know. Here in Canada, we're having one hell of a time. There's a lot of it is, of course, we don't work together really to take care of the old burial grounds. And that's the whole problem. But all that stuff I knew and what went on, why some of those places, they worked together on it, you know, because there was no, I don't know when they become recognized as American Indians and Canadian side, you know, they were all the same type
all
of people.
All the same.
Yeah, they didn't, I guess that's why there were so many people here in Canada, and they had relation to somehow some people live in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
I know they talk about that in, I don't know what they call it, Cass Lake, I guess. They call it Gumsquawk, but it used to be an Indian agent or whatever kind of thing. That I remember going over there one time. And this is what they were finding out, you know, some of the people came from there and they came to live in Canada. And what they were doing is selling a land, you know, they own, become, you know, through their marriages and so on. But I guess a lot of it, it's been lost. But I know that is, people used to say, how come I got relatives over there? They're the same kind of people.
Yeah.
Like a long time ago, though, why they really, relations were really, even through that system. So they used to talk to us about that, I know, when I was growing up. When we went someplace, you know, that's the first thing they tell me. Now you remember, where do you belong?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you may have relatives in a closer than a real one. So that was really good, you know, because of the communication was so beautiful in that way, because you know where your brothers and sisters were, even though you may not know them too, you know, but they were there. But all that stuff that I can remember, they went back and forth, you know. All the ceremonies were done in that lake and the other communities around. People used to come together. That amazes me a lot of times, you know. I think about that a lot. Today we have telephones, and then we can't communicate everybody that come to the ceremony. But my God, they did in those days. I know they had. They had a big one going to Lake Osmaniconing one time. And my grandfather said there are people coming from Sabikunai Zaganing, they call it. And Shaggy Zaganing, you know, the name and all that. I wish I'd remember quickly what they used to call it. This is where the small community is. But they were all tied into the one big community. Fair enough. 2 days' time they would drive. How they knew that, but I could never tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
But they did communicate each other, so I think that's why good relations were really done good. And of course later on, Canadian side and American side becomes law. But for a long time though, even when I was growing up, you know, they didn't affect them too much, eh?
No.
You know, because they were allowed to go back and forth freely. Eh?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because I know a lot of time that, I know they took quite a few things one time in that lake. It never bothered anybody. It was just went there, and then they told the guy there that was there, taking these over there, and said, now we know them.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the idea, but today you can't do that. And that was that was the time that they touch on this kind of treaty they have now. I can't think of it right now what they call it. But anyways, that was signed between American and Canadian side. They wanted to do is their way of life and spiritual ways, you know, to continue to go back and forth. But the government of the United States and Canada, they agreed to do that. But then later, you know, that's when they become different.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so they start stepping in, like, you know, bringing things across and so on. But I remember for a long time, we used to sell blueberries on the American side. there was no problem. Mm-hmm. And then we have camping grounds on the American side.
Yeah.
Everybody welcome there.
Yeah.
That was good. I don't know why they changed it.
Yeah. Now they say, are you taking anything over? Are you bringing anything back?
Yeah,
you,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's not too long ago here, they offered me a whole bunch of stuff when I was in. So I thought, well, I'll bring it back anyway, so they had two pair of mucklucks, I think, and I don't know what else, you know, that's all made good stuff. So anyways, I told them, I said, I got some stuff, but I said, that was offered to me. Well, he said, we got to see it, but there was all women in there that time. So, oh, God, are you going to tell? I said, okay. You got to pay them. I said, no, I'm not going to pay them. You guys want them, I keep them. And then one of the girls said, you know, they had a 5 pound or a 10 pound bag of white rice. He said, you can have this. He said, this is a traditional thing. Well, mucklucks and all this other stuff Indian made, they're all traditional. No. Like, what's the difference?
Yeah.
So I tried to tell her, I said, well, you keep the rice too. No, can't touch that. So they must know something.
Yeah.
Some kind of a law that was passed in there to do that. But anyways, I left my good mucklucks there, and then, I don't know, there was a lot of good stuff, you know, made by the young people in that lake. So that's how I know what they're doing. But anyways, as far as relations here and there, it is always back and forth. As I know, people from Manitoba, Rockers, and North Dakota, the other reserves, you know, they used to go there in the spring of the year, you know, and because they had nice making maple sugar and so on, and people used to go there. Well, open arms, come on.
Yeah.
They didn't tell you, oh, you're a Canadian Indian. They didn't tell us that.
Not like now.
So, which is a really good operation, I think, anyway, because that's why I continue to go there whenever I'm needed to go and do something, especially at that lake. I know some people there from along, following the kind of a relation that they had, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, my parents, and all that. I may be a little bit different, but still, you know, I always feel that comfortable with that. I wanted to bring it out a lot of things, and that's why I continue to work with them as much as I can. And it's kind of difficult sometimes because of the way of a white man's way, law and everything, you know, it just makes it hard, like the medicine. We should always be working together with, because now it's starting to revive and it's Anishinaabe medicine, you know, from all over, as I understand it. Talking to a lot of people about it, you know. We're getting away from all this Western medicine, they call it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it doesn't work very good anymore. So we're getting to learn our own ways, and I guess that's why it's so important to me. Other than that, I don't know what else I can tell you.
Yeah. What about years ago they used to have a boarding school out on Lake Vermilion. You know anything about that?
No. All I know about it is I could hardly see, you know, and they have that school there. But they did have a school.
Yeah.
Because we were different here. I don't know if it's much different. All the school we had was run by the Catholic priests and nuns and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I guess that was the worst thing that would ever happen to us.
Mm-hmm.
But that part, I don't know, I'd be lying if I say, and I don't want to do that. But they do have, they had school where they went to, starting off with that. And I think, you know, that's why we learn from each other, from the way they were treated, you know, when kids were going to school, Catholic. It's all Catholic run this side anyway.
Yeah.
I never recall any place else was to be different. Different people running in it. Even down east, I go there quite a bit now, you know, talk about all Catholic.
Well, there was quite a few kids from Irvis that went to a Catholic school out in South Dakota, and,
uh-huh.
and other kids that went to different places.
Oh, yeah, sure.
None of the stories were any good.
No. But you know something, though, that all what occurs to me that when you talk about school, what's happening, I don't know what's happening over there. Here in Canada, they know, you know, these people know, they're starting to walk away from that, yeah?
Yeah.
And then they know what's going to happen when they let the Anishinaabe people become where they were a long time ago. Now they're coming back a second time. I know they did it over here. The priest that was kind of saying mass, and he had a ribbon shirt, and he had everything, I know. And then he had eagle pan, and he had a pipe. Well, even some of those people there, you know, they got thinking, hey, this is not right, huh? So one day I was over there talking to some people. Some of the younger people there, younger guys, and I said, well, I want to ask you something. We got this new priest that just come in here. So, and this is what he has. He says he puts them out in the, you know, when he says that. He's got a pipe, he's got eagle fan, got eagle feathers, and he's got ribbon shirt and all. You think those stuff belonged in the church? That's all I wanted to know. I said, no way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next Sunday he's going to be there. He says, we want to invite you to come down. But we very, very feel strongly that it should not be there.
Yeah.
So I went that time. Sure enough, they brought that stuff. So after he got done, I went up there and talked to him. I told him, I said, that stuff should not be there. Well, he said, why? Well, I said, they don't belong here. I said, why is that? Well, I said, you know, you don't seem to know what's happening here. You see, I said, the way you say these things, I said, it wasn't done on this island, I said, very beginning of time. What you put here, that was done here, I said, that was given to the Anishinaabe people. But not like this, I said. You can't mix them up.
Mm-hmm.
So either you want to believe on this side, you believe on this side, simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I don't want to see that happen. I think a lot of these guys, that came to me and talked to you about it. But sure enough, I said, I don't see, they don't belong there. I mean, what you're doing is that you notice people are starting to walk away from it. They're starting to go their way. They're starting to revive their own medicine. They're starting to revive their way of life and so on. And they become strong. Just like, you know, we might even be there where we were at one time.
Yeah.
We were such a good people here, living here in North America, I don't know whatever they call it. So anyways, that was done. So they put away that stuff. So I think, you know, the more you see that, the more you speak out. And I think, you know, that, well, I mean, they will understand. But the way they tell people, you know, no, these are, become stronger because they come together anyways. And we're not talking about, I told that guy, we're not trying to say different creator. We believe there's only one creator. But they give us our way.
Yeah.
They give your way over there. I said, now you come to live with us. I said, why don't you do your way? We'll do our way. We got our own medicine, you got your medicine. You got your laws, we got our own laws and everything like that. We always have them. But we just don't practice them now, I think, because we were given to us a long time ago. We had people that look after the community, I said, just like these guys over here, the police, and somebody take you to court, and then there's a guy sitting there. We had that. We always have that. So, well, it's takes a long time to explain that. I said, one thing I know about it, as my grandfather, when they used to visit each other, all these communities, like, you know, people at La Croix, you know, Net Lake, and all to come together and talk about it. They weren't meeting or anything like that, but they were just talking about it, how, you know, how they have. But in Ojibwe language, they call them a little bit different. They have a person called Mataouki in it. And that's, that is the main function of the law, as he knows. You know, some people getting kind of short. He goes around in the community collecting stuff, or some people that go out hunting, you know, they give him something and you start all over. I guess it was like that, you know, because of that. These Indian legends, you know, that's, I try to follow and live that way myself. Because that's what my grandfather, my great grandfather used to say. All that stuff what was created in that time, it's all is going to be here and never going anywhere. And then someday maybe we'll be lucky to revive that. So that everything what's happening now will eventually go away. Like we have, today we have some of this pollution that's so bad. And that's why the weather is so bad. You know, I could remember coming from Nigigonsum and Karning, come down to Rainier and sell blueberries. There'd be a thunderstorm coming. So just keep on paddling, you know, till it come closer. He said, we'll just turn the canoe upside down and sit there till it blows right by. And 15, 20 minutes, it's gone. Clear it up again. But that's the way that's supposed to have been done all the time. As long as I can remember, that's the way they did it. They never have like what we have now. But the old people talk about this, you know, this is going to be different. Things are going to be bad, they say, because, you know, they're going to sing all kinds of things and up in the air, and everything's not going to be right anymore, because, you know, they're going to abuse that. These are spirits and whatever that was given to us to look after us. So that's why it's like that. Even some of the things that we enjoy today, we used to say, well, you gotta kind of watch it because there's so much stuff gonna be going in there. You know, there's all kinds of stuff that they used to gather, you know, not only blueberries, all kinds of other stuff. And let's talk about that. Someday, it's not gonna be like that. So we gotta watch it. But in Canada anyway, they were so strong. I remember that time my grandfather was a chief at the reserve. He had only one counselor. And they had one a hell of a time, you know, they were always trying to get in there. But they said, no, we'll look after our own people. And they had Children's Aid Society, they called. People used to come down there and they said, well, this family here, they're not looking after their children, we're going to take them away, you know. My grandfather used to come out and shove the boat back out. You're not allowed to come here because you're not a federal, you know, whatever it was. And then the Mountie would come and say, oh, come on, this is, you got to understand. He said, we're here, we want to look after our own people. So as far as I can remember, that New York's accounting band, they never lost one person. Been taken away. But I remember some of those communities differently. Quite a few people were taken away.
Yeah. But plenty of Nazis.
But they all came back, so that's one thing about it. So there must have been some kind of a help somewhere why they got back yet. I know my uncle was lived in the Seine River Reserve, and as a child he was taken away from there, taken to London, England. That's where he lived. Funny thing about him, when he did come back after about, I don't know how many years, 30, 40 years, maybe, he never lost his language.
No.
He can talk just as good as when he got back. A lot of people, they used to say, holy man, how did you do this? Well, I made up my mind when they took me over there. I knew I was lost. I didn't know where I was. But I was going to remember my language. It seemed like somebody was helping me all the time. I pray that way all the time, and said I never want to lose. People used to laugh at it.
That's the problem with most kids when they're taken away, they're into the white society, and then they forget their language.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the worst thing can happen to them. But at least most of them have been returning. Over here anyways, most of the people have been gone and have been returning homeland anyway. Because I did a lot of work in Toronto. God, you know, there's a lot of people come to me to revive, you know, somehow tell us what happened. We know we belong to this place. You know, they were taken away as small kids. But they're starting to come back part of it. But anyways, I think all that beliefs and stuff like that that we have, you know, I think that's really, I surely, surely believe it myself. If we can totally go back that way, I think we're not going to be where we were at one time, but we're going to be awful close to it. And I do know for sure, one thing I can tell you about it, what's happening, why the weather is so bad, you know, everything is polluted and stuff like that. I think they're going to return it to us. God, this is our homeland. If we start to do something right, we're going to have that. They will be given a chance to revive it. And that's the most important thing, I mean, for me. I probably won't see it myself. Every time I go someplace to go and do something, like, you know, sometimes I set up my drum, light the pipe, and that's the first thing I say, pray for everybody. Please help us. We want to know who we are. You know, help us to gain our, to really understand our way of life, what was given to us. So it's, a lot of it is coming back. It's strong. I think this is a good way to do it, you know.
Yeah.
You're gonna know the difference of the way young people have been taught, and they, you know, a lot of them don't even know who they are. In Canada anyway, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
But now they're starting to think, hey, I wanna know who I am. And I think it's a good idea to have that. Now, there are so many people, you know, they think they're white people.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, I'll tell you something about it. On the other hand, there's a lot of white people think they're Indian.
Yeah.
God, you know, there's a lot of them. They just want, they want that, nothing else. God, you know, I travel quite a bit down east. I do a lot of work for that. Communities down that way. God, there was a lot of these people. Not, you know, one guy was telling me once, he said, that's only women that do that. No, my God, there was a lot of young guys, you know. I call Healing Circle, you know, invite everybody wants to come, you know, talk about Healing Circle. All these young fellas, you know, they come, working, they ask me to come, can I come and join us? I'm not an Indian. Well, I said, you call yourself human being? Oh, yeah. I said, you see, when they look at yourself in the mirror, I said, look at an Indian beside you. I said, he's going to have the same reflection in his eyes inside. I said, there's a tiny little thing in there. Mm-hmm. That's what tells human beings. I said, but we can learn things together as, instead of hating each other. I said, that's not the way. That was done here on this island. Long time ago, they had to do away with that. There'd be no more bugging each other, there'd be no more killing each other, no more talking about each other, or everything like that. It's all going to be one mind. And I guess that's why there's a lot of them, you know, down east especially, you know. I know one place I conduct a healing circle for 3 days, 3.5 days I usually take. First day I walked in there, oh man, I looked around. There must have been about 10, 15 blonde haired people sitting there in blue eyes. They're all willing, you know. What do we do? You know, just tell us. And I see one Indian person, you know, put little tobacco in a pouch and wave by the drum. Got everybody said, I don't have any tobacco. Somebody must have some. It's really, you know, they're working hard.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good to see that. But it's also a lot of these young people, young Indians, you know, they see their people doing that, you know. Why can't I? I'm supposed to be one of them. Mm-hmm. Look at them, they don't even belong there. Mm-hmm. Look at them, they're just practicing. You know? I know one singing group, forget what they call, they're from down east. I think there's seven of those guys sitting on drum. I think three of those are young fellas, white guys. They're from that city where they are. Oh, they I wouldn't miss this for anything. You know, it's funny. I said, you know, talking to one of them, I feel so good sitting there. And also gives me not to join my friends out there, you know, they want to use drugs and so on. Mm-hmm. You know, it just really helped me. Mm-hmm. So I'm not gonna, wherever these drum go, he said, I'm going, he told you. He said, that's very, very strong. Must be good stuff in it, you know. The drum, they talk about the way they talk about it, I said, there's a lot of good things in it. And also they're getting away, especially down east. They used to use a lot of these plastic drums, huh? But now they take that and they put hide on it. You know? Mm-hmm. It's a little bit closer to perishing it. But it's still got a little ways to go, but that's all right. I just, you know, I don't feel bad about it. At least you're trying. So that's just a lot of, for me anyway, I've been around a long time. It's what I've seen, even what I did myself. I know how it is, that's why I can tell just about everything what's been done wrong. I don't want it to be like that myself one time. I didn't want to be part of Indian, I didn't want part of the ceremonies, I didn't want nothing to do with it. Mm. So that's the way I thought about it. I even laugh at my own people. But people used to tell me, you can't change that. But one thing that happened to me, I don't know why, I could not, never explain. And my community, you go so many colonies, the priests and nuns, you know, they come there every week, you know, changing everybody. I said no, he couldn't make me do it. Mm-hmm. I just completely refused. I said, no way, I don't know what made me do it. Even my grandfather told me, he said, make up your own mind, just do it. Mm-hmm. I said, no, I don't want part of that. Something wrong, I don't know what it is. So I never did. But the whole community, but soon as they changed everybody, they used to tell them, well, yeah, we'll come and say Mass every Sunday. Never see them after that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that kind of, they lied to them. But they just, they're not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
They did it anyway. That's about all I can tell you about good life.
Okay, that was fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.